Okay, so wow. Talk about a game changer. We're diving deep into your latest session, and man, it felt like a season finale already. We're gonna break it all down, treat it like one of those recap shows for like the hottest fantasy series out there, you know, all the twists, the big character moments, all the like, wait, what just happened stuff. You ready to dissect this thing?
Totally. I mean, you gave us so much to work with, this play-by-play. It's like a drama-filled, power-up packed, nail-biter episode.
Right. It's crazy. Okay, so let's rewind back to where we left off. Our heroes barely made it out of the Durst Manor, right? We talked about that last time. They were completely drained. Lachlan especially, I mean, he was totally out of it. And then boom, right as they get a second to breathe, that whole spectral hand thing comes out of nowhere. What did you make of that sudden awakening? It was wild.
That was a huge turning point. What's really interesting there is how like trauma can unlock things. You know, it's like Lachlan's close call. It's like it triggered something inside him. He suddenly taps into like the source of magic itself, you know? It's a classic story, right? Like hidden potential unleashed by these crazy circumstances.
Exactly. He went from zero to magic hero in his sleep, and then, right when they need it most, Asley steps up with that incredible music. And it's not just background music either, right? You said it actually had a real effect on everyone.
Totally. It wasn't just a nice tune. It was like this soothing wave washing over them after all that horror they went through. It's like it actually healed them, you know? Makes you think about the power of art, right? Especially during tough times.
For sure. It's like Asley's music has its own kind of magic. All right, then we have the Night Watches. Straff's watch in particular, it felt like a major moment for him. He's wrestling with all this doubt, questioning his purpose, and then boom, an answer to his prayers, like straight from the source. That was powerful.
Oh yeah, definitely. It's a huge shift for him. That prayer to Drox, it wasn't just casual, you know. It came from this deep place of uncertainty, and the fact that he got a response, like this clear sense of direction, even though there weren't any actual words, that's a big deal. It means something's going on there. And then he makes that oath to serve Drox, to fight evil in Barovia. It's like he's found his calling, his purpose, you know, and you can feel his strength returning.
It definitely adds a whole other layer to things. It makes you think there are bigger forces at play here, watching over them.
Right. It's not just them against the world anymore.
Okay, and then Lucien's watch is next. We get another intense moment there with that golden flame appearing again. You mentioned it's tied to his past trauma. It's like these stressful situations are bringing back both power and painful memories for him, you know?
Exactly. It's like that golden flame is this powerful symbol for him. It connects the danger he's facing now to the pain he's carried with him for so long. It's like his faith is being tested all over again. But then he receives that holy symbol from Drox, right? That's like a physical representation of his faith enduring, like a lifeline. It's like the universe saying, "Hey, I see you. I'm here with you."
Yeah.
It reinforces this idea that faith can be a real weapon against the darkness.
Powerful stuff. And lastly, we have Lachlan's watch. Instead of resting up, he's immediately trying to master his new abilities. Talk about jumping in headfirst.
He doesn't waste any time, does he? It shows how curious he is, how eager he is to understand this magic that's suddenly a part of him. And he manages to summon that owl familiar right away. It's like he has this instinctive grasp of these powers.
It makes you wonder where that magic comes from, right? Is it in his blood? Was it a gift from someone? Or did that near-death experience just unlock something totally unique within him?
So many questions. I mean, the possibilities are endless. And then on top of that, the Durst Manor vanishes. Like, poof, gone. It's a total mind bender.
Right. Talk about a plot twist. It makes you question everything you thought you knew about this place. Like, what other seemingly solid things are going to suddenly disappear or change? It's unsettling, to say the least.
Totally. It really adds to the eerie atmosphere. You never know what to expect in Barovia.
For sure. And then they finally reach the village, and it's immediately clear that this place is under siege. Barricades, villagers looking scared and exhausted. It's intense. And then they meet Ismark. What were your first impressions of him?
He seemed like a leader, you know? Even with everything falling apart around him, he stepped up to help, to offer them information. Clearly, he's someone the villagers look up to, even when things are this bad.
Yeah. And he lays it all out for them, right? It doesn't sugarcoat anything. They learn about the curse, Strahd, the nightly attacks. It's a lot to take in.
Totally. And it's crucial information, right? We learn about Strahd's history, how his awakening is tied to this recent tragedy, and just how dangerous the undead are. And that mention of the Vistani, it's like a tiny spark of hope in this really dark situation. But it's just a rumor, so who knows if it's even true?
Right, just another layer of uncertainty. And speaking of uncertainty, not everyone is on board with Ismark, are they? We've got Bildroth's outburst in the tavern. That was a raw display of grief and anger.
Oh, yeah. That was powerful. It's a stark reminder of the personal cost of all this, you know? Bildroth's lost someone he cared about, and he blames Ismark for it. It shows how divided the village is, how desperate people are. It makes you think about how a community can even stay together when things are this bad.
Exactly. And then the news about Gertruda, it just keeps getting worse. A young girl trying to reason with Strahd, that can't possibly end well.
It's a desperate move, right? And it adds even more urgency to the situation. Ismark promises to find her, even as he's asking for their help with the village. And Bildrath's reaction, it just shows how hopeless everyone feels. It's like they've given up on any good outcome.
So they agree to help Ismark first and head to his father's mansion to get those fire bottles. But that leads them right into that mob scene, demanding that Irina be handed over to Strahd. What a terrifying welcome.
Talk about a hostile reception. It shows just how deep the fear runs in this village, how twisted their thinking has become because of Strahd. And the fact that they believe he has this thing for redheads, it's illogical, but it shows how much power he has over them. And Kolian defending Irina like that, it shows just how much is at stake here.
It's heartbreaking. And thankfully, our heroes step in and manage to calm things down. But then we have Lachlan using the spectral hand again. It felt like a big mistake, especially in this tense situation.
It definitely wasn't the best move. Astley saved the day with his quick thinking. But still, Lachlan showing off his powers like that, it's bound to make people suspicious, especially when they're already scared and on edge. It's a good reminder that power without control can have unintended consequences.
Absolutely. Actions have consequences, especially when you're dealing with magic. So they finally make it inside the mansion, and Kolian gives them even more insight into what's going on, why the villagers are so desperate, and why they blame Ismark. It's a really sad situation.
Yeah, Kolian's perspective is crucial, right? We learn about the attacks, how organized they seem to be, how many undead are out there. It makes you wonder what Strahd's plan is, you know? Why hold back if you could just crush them? It's like he's playing some kind of twisted game.
It's truly disturbing. Then we get those little hints, those breadcrumbs for the future. Strahd finds that page about vampires. And Irina mentions that strange traveler. It's like the story is slowly unfolding, revealing its secrets bit by bit.
It's classic foreshadowing, right? The torn page hints at this whole deeper lore surrounding vampires, suggesting that others have tried to understand this darkness before. And the Traveler. Who knows who they are? What role they'll play? They could be an ally, an enemy, or something else entirely. It adds so much mystery.
Exactly. You're always left wanting more. While Strahd's doing his research, the rest of the party is gathering supplies. Lucian's experience at the church is particularly creepy. A priest so terrified he won't even open the door. That's not a good sign.
It's downright chilling. I mean, even with Lucian's divine powers, the priest refuses to offer sanctuary. He's that scared. It shows how deeply the fear has taken root in this place, and his promise to meet only if they survive. It's heavy stuff. And then there's the blue-tipped raven Lucian sees. That really stood out to me.
It's one of those details that you know has to mean something, right? Like, why blue-tipped? Why a raven? We've got to keep an eye out for that. Okay, so they regroup, have a tense dinner with Kolian and Irina, and start planning their defense. They'll take the eastern barricade. Ismark will handle the western one. It's all very serious business now.
Right. The stakes are so high. It's a moment of calm before the storm. And Ismark, trying to give them some hope, even though things look so bleak, it shows what a good leader he is. And Kolian gives him that letter of recommendation that could be huge later on. It's like a potential passport through Barovia, you know. Maybe it'll help them gain access to places or people they wouldn't be able to otherwise.
It's definitely something to hold on to, especially in a place as unpredictable as this. Then we get to the main event, the siege of the Eastern Barricade. And wow, it sounded like pure chaos. You described it as this overwhelming wave of undead. Did Azalea's plan with the scarecrows and the fire bottles even work?
It definitely helped. Even a little distraction can make a difference in a fight like that. Those scarecrows bought them some precious time. Disrupted the enemy's advance.
Well, every little bit helps. But then, of course, we have Strahd, full of righteous fury, charging headfirst into the horde. Talk about a bold move.
He didn't hesitate, did he? It was a risky move, for sure. But that initial burst of energy probably caught the undead off guard. The problem was he was quickly outnumbered, and then those ghouls showed up and things got really dangerous.
Ah, ghouls. Always a bad time.
Yeah, those things are nasty. And it's a good reminder that even with faith on your side, you need to be smart about your moves.
Exactly. And while all this is happening, the barricade itself is under attack, and then the super zombie shows up. It's like the boss level of undead.
This thing is a whole other level of terrifying. It's fast, it's huge, it's poisonous. It's like the game threw everything it had at them at once.
Like, it was saying, oh, you thought you were prepared for this, think again. And just when you think things can't get worse, we have Bildreth and Periwimple getting taken out by those arrows. It's so sudden, so tragic. It really hits home how dangerous this is.
It's brutal. It shows that even in the midst of chaos, there's this hidden enemy picking people off from afar. Bildreth, after all he'd been through, and Periwimple just trying to defend the village. It's a harsh reminder that no one is safe in Barovia. And then there's the Black Wraith Archer that Lachlan sees that adds a whole other layer of fear. We've got a sniper on our hands.
It's scary stuff. And then to top it all off, that plague spreader explodes, releasing this cloud of toxic gas. Everyone gets hit. It's a miracle they even survived that.
It was a devastating attack, a final blow from this relentless enemy. The fact that they lived through it is a testament to their strength and their luck. They might have won this battle, but they're wounded, they're exhausted, and they know that this is far from over.
So much happened in this session. We had Lachlan's magical awakening, Strath and Lucian's divine interventions, the harsh realities of Barovia revealed by Ismark, the tragic deaths of Bildroth and Periwimple, and that desperate fight for survival at the barricade. It's a lot.
It was a wild ride. You faced incredible odds, witnessed incredible acts of faith, and experienced devastating losses. This session was a real turning point and is going to have a huge impact on what happens next.
And we're left with so many questions. What will Lachlan do with his new abilities? How will Strath and Lucian's strength and faith guide them? What happened to the Durst Manor? What is Strahd's endgame? Why is he holding back? Who is the archer? And what about that blue-tipped raven? What does it all mean?
Exactly. So much to ponder. Think about the weight of the oaths that have been taken, the power that's been unleashed. How will this change the choices you make as you face the darkness of Barovia? And what will you make of the mysteries that continue to unfold around you?
So many possibilities, so much danger. We can't wait to see what happens next. Until then, stay safe out there in Barovia.
And keep those torches lit. You never know what's lurking in the shadows.